to do it.
Amen.
This is like, sing this one a lot. I remember some time ago, right here, my dad was standing with me. We were singing this together, Peace in the Valley. That was when we had our 50th, what'd you call it, Janet?
Reenactment.
In other words, we got remarried again. Sometimes I always thought the first time around was a reenactment.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away.
Gave me on Wednesday that
the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, and as I kind of saw and studied, it's probably translated not quite right, but probably a dark valley that we go through from time to time, and the Lord can bring us peace in those times.
Amen.
Times when it's very gloomy and dark, and you don't know what to do, He can bring peace.
Amen.
Because as it said, he changed me to a different creature. He didn't renovate this body. He's not taking this and making this better. He made me totally new. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
What I've got, I hope it, I don't know. I feel like it, I thought I was ready to go, and then I feel like it's all scattered all of a sudden. So be with me, hang with me, and I'll try to get through. Hopefully I can get what I want said, but my wife's not going to like this at all, and she'll figure out why. It's not bad. You're not nothing against you, but you're not going to like what I'm getting ready to say. But I'm going to start the 46 Psalms, and I say that because her favorite verse is probably in here. And we need to be careful taking pieces of verses or pieces of Scripture and just believing that one little bit of a piece of Scripture. Because they one little line in a piece of Scripture can make it sound one way, when really when you take the context of the whole Scripture, it's not what it means at all. And this, I believe this is probably one of those cases. Yes, it sounds good, and we'll get to that in just a second, but if you read the 46th Psalm, this is... It says, the chief musician to the sons of Korah. So the song upon Alamoth is what my Bible says, kind of giving you some background on it. But it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's a good verse right there. We go through a lot of trouble, and there's a lot of hard times. And we can tell from our prayer requests that we have, even today, that there are loved ones that are sick, or yourself is going through medical problems. We have different people that we've talked about and heard that are falling away from the church, and we want to see them back. We've seen heard about some friends that we may have that we want to see, that they may be good people, but they're not good people. Ain't going to get them into heaven. But our God, through our hard times, when we get weak, when we can't do any more, He is our refuge and our strength. Because He's very present help in trouble. That's a good verse right there. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. That didn't sound right. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And I know I've heard my wife say many times that be still and know that I am God. In this portion of scripture here, I don't think he's talking to the saved people around. I don't think he's talking to his children. I believe he's talking to the enemies that are fighting against. As he's coming to them, and I believe that the holy city here you're talking about is Jerusalem, and the all the things that are going on, and you see that there is kingdoms that have were in an uprise, and they were had a battle upon them, and God spoke, and the mountains started to melt, and I mean, you got the power of God that's there, and he's telling the enemies to listen here. I am God, be still, and watch what I can do. The earth and all the devils that are in the earth and all the sin that's in the earth is not a match for my God. And we come to the end of times, and it talks about that the mountains will move, and that those that are lost and not knowing him will run to the mountains to pray that the rocks would fall on them to hide them from what is happening with the saints getting pulled up to heaven. I think if I'm going to be here on that day, I hope that when I hear the trumpet sound and see Jesus come in from the east, if I'm still alive, a little bit of me thinks that's going to be terrifying. Because to see those that are dead come up and rise up before us and go to meet Jesus, and we're at the same time, my soul just says, boy, we're getting ready to go. Here, we're next. And you can just, I don't know how to even imagine it. But it sounds terrifying and absolutely the greatest thing ever all at the same time. But when God comes down and he says, that's it, that's it. There's no more time to find him. Because the power that my God has created this earth, and my power my God has is going to destroy this earth. So I look at this and as I think, and I'm like, I love the idea to be still because it's God, because many times that's what I feel like I'm doing is I'm being still and waiting for God. And then I think about myself and how I operate. That's probably not quite right. I'm going to look over into Proverbs chapter 26. I got about four or five places. I want to read just a couple verses each place. What I'm really looking for now is I want to find a verse to replace that be still and be God for me, that in my heart that I can think at some times when I'm not feeling like I've got any control over what's happening and all I'm doing is just kind of along for the ride. I want to be able to look at something and say, what did God tell me to do? And in Proverbs chapter 26, and starting in the 13th verse, I'm going to get my wife back on my side here. Proverbs 26 and 13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, he doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hands in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. I've said probably more than I should up here, I'm a lazy. And my wife, I know, will amen that to the fullest that she can get out of her body. I have no right to be lazy. Because then it means that I am taking my life and doing what I want to do with it. I want to sit down. I want to be in my bed and just kind of pivot in the bed like I'm in the hinges of a door. I'm not any good for anything. That's not what God wants for us. We're like, well, let's rest. And then that, and we're supposed to rest, and that's what God wants for us, is to be peaceful and resting and all that. One day. day's not today. While we're here on this earth is not our resting time. Did Elijah have a snack and a nap? Yeah, there is a short period that might be a good thing for us, but it should not be our life of being slothful and sluggish. There's work to be done. And I'm not talking about going out and plowing fields or building this or making that or those kind of jobs that we have here that may sustain us and that our lives that we have from day to day that brings in money so that we can feed ourselves. I'm talking about the Lord of all has a job for us to do. Because he saved our souls. If you're here and you know the Lord and you know that he is in your soul, made it right, that you one day after a while won't have to worry about a devil's hell, but that as your eyes close in death, that you are going to come into his glory. There's work to be done. Look around. I read some discussion boards sometimes as I look through and study to just kind of see what people are saying and see how other people answer questions, especially as people may ask religious questions. I want to see how some other people are responding. And it's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. Because they ask about simple religious questions about salvation or how they should feel or what they should do. And the first, almost always, the first response you get is, you're a moron if you think there's a God. How stupid can you be to think that there is some God, that this ancient book is what you're going to live your life by? It absolutely breaks my heart. Because I really believe that that person is convinced in their heart, their mind, that there's nothing else to go for. That there is nothing beyond this life. And then I look at the Bible. It's written somewhat of an old English type writing that can be hard to read sometimes. And as I try to read it, and I struggle at times to understand what they're saying, and I'm thankful that I have other resources to look at to try to help me understand those. And there are other translations of the Bible that I will use for reference points, but there's other books that I can go to, Strong's Concordance, and take words and break them down into their normal language that they were written in and try to see other ways that it's translated to try to understand it better. Guess what? That takes work. It's not easy to read the Bible sometimes. And that's one of the simplest things that I can do. It's just reading my Bible. And we are so blessed with technology now that, you know, technology gets a bad rap a lot of times in church, and it probably is pretty bad. But there's also some really good things that can come from technology and serving the Lord. On my phone, I have probably four different Bibles. I've got four or five commentaries. I've got the dictionary from 1828. I've got the Strong's Concordance. All these things that I can use very simply and very easily to serve God. But yet I'm still saying, there's a lion in the street, I'm not going out there many times. We are blessed to be able to have that ability to so easily get connected with God. To have the ability to search out what he says to us, what he wants me to do, to find instruction, to find what in different parts of my life where I need to go. It's work. You have to want to do it. You just don't open the Bible and just understand it all. I'm not a very good reader as it is in the first place. I can read words, but comprehending a lot of times and taking a passage of words and putting them together and understanding what they mean, much more over a cat in the hat, I struggle with it. I read the words very literally and like, okay, this says this, 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 and this. I can get that. The Bible is deep. You go through and I read it one way, and I've said this, that I've read things before and I see it and I'm like, okay, I got it. And give me a couple weeks, I'll read it again, and I see something totally different. That's not by accident. That's by design. Sanctification comes in our, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, and we get a little deeper, and sometimes that we can read things, and it's just the milk. As we get deeper in our sanctification, and we get closer to God, and our relationship with the Lord becomes closer and tighter, and we're maybe following the Lord more like we should be, He reveals things to us that we've never seen before. And you know what? It's the same exact words as I read maybe a month or two ago. I'm thankful for that. Because that just, to me, that just shows the power that my Lord has to put that into words in this book written by some man a long time ago that He inspired. And I can read it today and it is absolutely amazing. To me, because God has given me that. So I look again and I'm like, okay, I don't want to be slothful. I want to produce and I need to change my ways. And that's a great thing to be able to read the Bible and God be merciful and be able to change my ways and God be accepting of it. Then I get over to Proverbs 3. Kind of a something to worry about each step of the way. Every step of the way as we walk and do our Christian life, there's a way to go wrong. God will always give us an avenue to go right. He's never going to lead us into sin. He's never going to lead us the wrong way. He's never going to lead you down a path of destruction. That He will always give you a route to come out smelling great. To follow Him. It's up to you to figure out which way you're going to go. Which one you're going to follow. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So I'm trying to fix my ways, and I know I've been slothful and not moving and not serving the Lord and not working for God. I want to change, and so many times I'm going to do the way that I want to do it. Well, I need to do this. I'm going to pray at 12 o'clock every day. I'm going to every morning make sure I wake up and pray as soon as I wake up. Or, at 10 o'clock I'm going to read my Bible, at least get a chapter in. And all those are great things. Listen to God. He will direct your path. And all those things are great, but He may have something else that He wants you to do. Something else that is going to serve Him in a way that is going to glorify Him better. And there are times that in our Christian walks as we fail and we turn around and actually get God back on our side because we pray to Him and try to fix our ways. Those are our testimonies that we can take to those that are younger than us, that are less experienced. That say, listen, you're going to fail from time to time. I have. I don't want to be proud of my failures, but it is a testimony that you can share with people that aren't just saying that, you know, they're not right, they haven't got things this way, I'm not good enough to be a Christian, neither am I. I never have been. I'm not good enough to be saved, neither am I. I'm not good enough to pray and talk to people about God. I'm not good enough to say, talk to anybody either. I'm not good enough to preach His Word, but He wants me to, and I don't understand why. I'm going to do the best I can at it. Yeah. And that's a lie sometimes too. We sing a lot of songs about how I'm just going to live this for Jesus, and I'm going to do that for Jesus. Yeah, they're great in a song to go along with it. We don't live it. I don't live it. It's been eating at me a little bit lately that I read, sing these songs, and I love to sing songs, and I read the words that I'm saying, and I'm like, I don't do that. I don't trust in God all the days of my life, and I don't do this all the time that I should, but I should be. So many times I want to live my life of the way that I want to live it. I want to see things happen the way that I want to see them happen. And that's just not the way it's going to work. I've often thought about, we say, you know, we want God's will to be done. God's will. Well, guess what? God's will is going to be done. But what we're really saying is, I hope that I do what I'm supposed to do to help, do what all that I can to get help God in His way to get to His will. What we're saying is, I hope I don't mess it up. So we really should, way we should really reword it to think about it. God's will is going to get done. You're either going to get on board and do it with Him and get counted in the blessings that come with His will and as His victories come about, or you're not. I'm not saying that you're going to lose your salvation, but there are blessings that come along with working with God and doing what God needs us to do to get His will accomplished. And guess what? He'll help you all along the way. And when you see some fruit from God and see what He can do, and when His will is done, see those that are lifted up and see maybe those that are saved or see one come back to the church, there's a blessing that comes along with that. Also a punishment if you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You should feel God looking at you and telling you, hey, I told you to do this and you didn't. Why not? Look over here. Look at what's going on. You should be a part of all this. The blessing should be there with you. But you failed me. I feel that from time to time too. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. This world that we live in, and even in our churches, and in our homes, and in our own lives, I'm sure, we are just full of anxiety. I am for certain things. There are certain things that I, whatever, I could care less. But there are times that anxiety takes over, and as we, I feel more anxious now that we know a little kind of better place that we need to be moving to, and it gets closer to, we start looking seriously for houses of where to go, and I'm going to make probably the biggest move that I've ever made in my life to leave where I'm from and lived in basically the southern part of Indianapolis all my life, except through college and maybe just a little farther south, but that general area is where I've been all my life. I'm going to pick up and move to a different state, a different area. I love the people that are here, but I don't know anybody else. Trying to get things that, you know, I would like set up and to see for this and that, and I'm starting to get a little more anxious about it because I want to control things, but yet I really don't have any control over most of it. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm still trying to figure out a way to be still and let God do it. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, for it is everything in prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I struggle with that. I know my wife struggled with that. I know my mom struggled with it. I know my grandmother struggled with it. I know lots of people that struggle with throwing our cares on God and letting Him take over. Now, that don't mean us quit. This is one of the closest things I could find to go back to be still and let God be still and let God move. This is probably the closest one I could find that's talking directly to me, that I can take all my cares and all my troubles and I can throw them at God and then sit back, giving my thanksgiving to Him, listening to Him, trying to figure out where He wants me to go and what He wants me to be. It should take the anxiety out of it to know that God's in control, and listen to God and follow what He tells us to do. The anxiety should be relieved if I truly have faith in my God that He's going to take care of it. Well, yeah, a couple months ago, I was like, yeah, God will take care of it. I was like, I'm fine. But as it gets closer and closer to the time that it's actually going to happen, boy, I start getting a little angsty. First Peter 5 and 7. There's a similar verse. Casting your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Know why I love Jesus? He loved me first. I did a lot more than that, but before I was born, before mankind was made, before this world was, He loved me. Does He love everything that I do? Absolutely not. Does He hate the sin that's in my life? Absolutely. Does He love my soul and me as a person that has been created by His Father? Absolutely. So I can take my cares, my worries, my troubles, my problems, my victories, my accomplishments that He has given me through Him, everything that I have, good, bad, ugly, and throw it on God. And He'll take care of me. So when I go back to that very first verse I read, it's in Psalms 46. I think I love the first verse better than the one you liked. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He didn't tell us to be lazy. He didn't tell us to stop working. He told the enemies to stop. Listen, look what I'm doing around you. You look around you, the mountains are starting to melt. I think as a person that's fighting, knowing that I'm fighting God's people, and I start seeing these things around me start to change, I'm probably going to stop and be like, whoa, this ain't right. I ain't never seen this before with all the other battles that we've had. They must truly have God that we don't believe in this God, but something's different. And God says, be still, because I am God. I've heard that before in my life. Not necessarily when I was right on top of the mountaintop next to God, more when I was a little farther away from Him. I've heard Him say, hold up. Remember, I'm the God. You're not the God. You make decisions. I don't know who said it, but when I make plans, God laughs. his ways, and I found it to be true, actually. And I've heard it said before, but the plans that I had made, and I change and let God take over, is always better than what I even thought. You know, I have my plans, and I can get this far. Well, you know what? I let God, he surpassed it by a ton. So twofold, I guess, the message. Be careful with scripture that you read on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, because they sound really good, but don't take things out of context. A lot of the false religions that we have going around us that are teaching heresy is because they've taken a single verse and they posted their whole religion on that one verse. Oh, you must be able to lose your salvation because look at this verse right here. Yeah, read the rest of it. There's more. Read who he's talking to during that time. Know who the people are as they are these writers are writing to. Because that makes a big difference in reading the scripture, knowing who's writing, knowing who they're writing to. That all comes in. Remember I said reading the Bible takes some work. But that work is what God wants us to do. That's the start of growing in our faith. That's the start of growing more for our church. And each individual that's here, that gets stronger, makes the church stronger. As each marriage gets stronger, it makes the church stronger. That's what we want, right? A stronger church. A stronger church makes a stronger community. And I can always go back to and remember, God has been so good to me. Mm-hmm. I should want to do more to serve him, to uplift him, and let everybody know that he is the King of all. That's my message this morning. Do you want to think about anybody's heart?